This is the official Prague competition text.
This will be the 2007 Intersteno Shorthand Competition. Ready, and Europe must become more competitive. A competitive European economy will give us a means of ensuring a high level of consumer health and environmental protection. These endeavors enable us to enjoy a high quality of life and to raise our standard of living. Clearly, decreasing industry and competitiveness are closely related. Policies supporting competitiveness will contribute to slowing the trend away from industry. Such policies will also contribute to the orderly transition towards a modern industrial economy. This transition will entail changes in the distribution of employment across all sectors. Historically, losses in manufacturing employment have been more than offset by employment increases in the service sectors. While these structural changes continue to take place, it will become increasingly difficult for the low-skilled workers to regain employment. This segment of our labor force is particularly vulnerable in the adjustment process. Whereas it is undeniable that such changes can be onerous in local economies and in social terms, the resulting better resource allocation will improve welfare. Policies that raise our innovation potential and our human capital base will also raise labor productivity and strengthen our comparative advantage internationally. Competitiveness is determined by productivity growth. A competitive economy is one that experiences high and sustained productivity growth, which leads to an increase in standards of living. Many factors determine productivity. The European institutions and the member states each have important roles to play as guardians of competitiveness. Their common aim is to put in place the best possible conditions which will enable European companies to grow and compete successfully in a fiercely competitive global market. The emergence of strong competitors from Southeast Asia and Latin America makes meeting this challenge all the more important. In order to ensure the European Union is on the right track, we must systematically monitor developments and review the state of competitiveness of our economies and our enterprises. Europe continues to suffer from an entrepreneurial gap. Entrepreneurship is far more frequently considered as a professional option in the United States than in the European Union. It is essential to improve attitudes towards entrepreneurship and to strengthen the incentives for self-employment. Europe not only needs more entrepreneurs, but also needs conditions that support entrepreneurial growth. Lack of financial support, complex administrative procedures, and lack of skilled labor are still the barriers to starting and expanding business. This finding is particularly true for technology-intensive sectors, where the number of new startups has recently been larger in Europe than in the United States. Their growth is severely hampered by inadequate access to risk capital. Europe's competitiveness problems have been reflected in concerns about the risk that Europe might be facing as it decreases its industrial sector. In recent months, such concerns have been raised in public debates and also at the highest political levels. These concerns are not new and are invariably strongest during periods of slow economic growth or in recessions. No person doubts the adjustment process associated with the changing structure of our economies can be very costly, especially at the local level. However, good macroeconomic performance will provide not only the environment for the European Union manufacturing sector to improve its productivity, but also the conditions that will enhance the growth of the service sector. Decreasing the industrial sector and outsourcing to foreign countries are issues that are emerging as part of a greater concern about the performance and future of the industry in the European Union. This development reflects an ambition that Europe remains a global power in industrial sectors that are considered essential for strategic purposes. Moreover, this review could reflect an ambition to restore performance in areas where Europe has been weak. Industry in the European Union is, however, less specialized in technology-based sectors than in the United States or Japan. It must retain its present strong position in traditional, mature sectors, even if this effort will not be enough to ensure long-term economic success. Decreasing the industrial sector requires a structural change. The decline in the relative presence of the manufacturing sector in national income, especially during the post-war 2 years, mirrors the decline in the share of the primary sector in earlier years. Development of industrial competitiveness in recent years shows considerable diversity. Productivity growth in manufacturing began to decelerate in the mid-1990s, and it has since fallen behind the United States. The sectors that contributed to the widening of the productivity gap are mainly high-tech sectors. However, European manufacture of high-tech goods and services has been performed extremely well, but productivity growth in sectors that utilize high-tech has not accelerated as in the United States. It is clear that high-tech has been a key factor in all sectors of productivity performance. Productivity developments would play a key role in any process of decreasing the industrial sector because they influence directly the competitiveness of enterprises. One should keep in mind that a gradual process of decreasing the size of the industrial sector has indeed been taking place throughout history. High productivity growth in the manufacturing sector has contributed to raising real incomes and to making manufactured goods relatively cheaper than goods produced in the service sectors. Thus, inevitably, the share of manufacturing in national income and employment will follow a trend of decline. This decline has already occurred and it continues to occur in our economies. For a better understanding of the process of structural change, it is important to ask what the economic implications of some forms of industrial decline would be. Relocation of industrial activities internationally is a reflection of changing comparative advantages. International trade linkages ensure that such relocations do not benefit exclusively the host countries. Increased exports from them will be matched by increased imports by them. It is clear that relocation implies that the European Union exports will inevitably increase as economic growth abroad accelerates, thus contributing to output and employment growth in our economies, although in other industries. Jobs will therefore permanently decrease in regions from which industries leave only if they are not matched by exports to the regions where industries have migrated. This process will take time to complete, and it will involve considerable adjustment costs. Therefore, the need exists for an adaptable labor force with skills that are continuously upgraded. It is also important to recall the nations towards which industries are likely to migrate are almost always less wealthy developing nations. These nations need capital imports to develop their economies. This phenomenon implies they must fund for the foreseeable future trade deficits. These deficits will mirror the rest of the world's capital exports or correspondingly trade surpluses. It is unrealistic to believe that the developing nations where industries could be outsourced to foreign countries would become major exporters of capital to the high-wage nations in the industrialized world. On the basis of the data reviewed here, there is no evidence the European Union economy is showing signs of a decrease in the industrial sector. Nevertheless, it is possible that during a period of slow growth and poor productivity and innovation performance, conditions contributing to implementing such a process might emerge. Outsourcing to foreign countries concerns the transfer of production and of other manufacturing activities to locations outside of the home country. This outsourcing has already taken place within the European Union and reflects the changing comparative advantage of different locations. Outsourcing to foreign countries has created significant concerns among policymakers, social partners, and the public more generally. These concerns were expressed when discussions were first held about adding the countries of Central and Eastern Europe to the European Union. Now it has resurfaced in the context of globalization. Clearly, better cost conditions abroad will inevitably attract industries that are unable to produce in the high-wage environment of modern industrial economies. Of course, this trend is contributing to the growth of less wealthy trading partners. Outsourcing to foreign countries has indeed been limited to low-technology, labor-intensive activities. However, relocation is often accompanied by the retention of or the creation of new jobs in Europe in the service areas such as design, marketing, and distribution. This emerging specialization is a reflection of a changing comparative advantage where the European Union retains those jobs that are human capital and technology intensive and characterized by high productivity and correspondingly high real wages. Today and in the future, Europe must develop and strengthen its competitive manufacturing base. To achieve this goal, it is necessary to increase research and development performance to strengthen the human capital base and to develop conditions supportive of enterprise and of productivity growth. However, other aspects of outsourcing are related to research and development activities. This process constitutes a genuine threat to Europe's future. Companies are conducting a growing share of their research outside of Europe, particularly in high-technology, research-intensive sectors. These activities increasingly move to the United States to take advantage of more favorable conditions, as well as the availability of skilled workers. Major European firms have warned that unless basic conditions improve drastically, most of their research and development investment would take place outside the European Union, where they have already relocated 40% of their research and development. This warning should alert policymakers about the risk that science and knowledge-based activities that are important for our future standards of living may become marginal. Clearly, there are economic forces about which the European Union policymakers can or should do little. There are also other forces about which they should play an active role. For example, they should take into account the current practice of industrial transformation by facilitating the increasing osmosis between manufacturing and services. They should also be alert to the role that industrial economic conditions play in decisions to relocate. In any event, this situation would raise serious questions about Europe's ability to retain its leading roles in these sectors, which would have an important effect on the rest of the economy. And a large European Union with its increased variety of wage structures and technological skills will provide European industry with opportunities for competitive reorganization. Although a firm's competitiveness ultimately depends on the efficiency with which it combines various resources that are available to it, public authorities can play an important role in facilitating this process by helping create appropriate economic conditions. It is clear that inappropriate economic conditions in a poor business environment can act as significant burdens on business activity. Creating a business environment favorable to research, innovation, and entrepreneurship is crucial. While it is essential to provide a regulatory framework that encompasses the entire Europe and is favorable to business, Europe still needs to do more to promote competitiveness. The Research Investment Action Plan aims to make Europe more attractive to private research investment. The total investment level would be 3% of the gross domestic product, and 2/3 of this amount would come from the private sector. The action plan includes a coherent ensemble of measures
measures across several fields of policy. Strengthening research, fostering innovation, and promoting entrepreneurship are, however, areas where progress lies totally in the hands of member states. Their commitment to making the necessary decisions at the national level is of vital importance for everyone. Here as well, member states should look at how well national policies interact and influence competitiveness. An open method of coordination can be a valuable tool by enabling the European Union to contribute to progress in areas where it has no legislative powers. Taking into account national differences, it helps to achieve the greater consistency and convergence of national policies towards agreed objectives. This method puts in place a mechanism for mutual learning that is based on the dissemination and exchange of good practices. It also provides for periodic monitoring of progress. The continuing structural transformation of our economies that provide for an ever-increasing role for the services sector is economically inevitable. With this, some outsourcing to foreign countries is bound to come, and society has to adjust itself to changes. These changes in employment cause social and economic hardship to those directly affected. The increasing importance of services in the economy does not imply that industrial output should decline. Indeed, this process has so far been associated with the continuous growth in industrial output. At the same time, industrial employment has been brought about by the steady increase of industrial productivity. The slowdown in Europe's productivity growth represents a loss of competitiveness. This change is a serious cause for concern because of the risks which have implications for our industrial performance, for our capacity to deal with structural changes. The loss of industrial competitiveness and the loss of industry are opposite sides of the same coin. However, there is at the moment no compelling evidence that Europe is experiencing an industrial decline in an absolute sense. It is now essential to anticipate and to prepare for these adjustment challenges.